Amen. It doesn't matter who you are or how long you serve God, you still need the love of God. Amen. Nothing shall separate us from His love. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn our hearts to the Word now and believe God to minister to us in the altar. Brother Brad's going to be speaking tonight. I appreciate Brother Brad and his family, not only dedication to the Lord, but their dedication to the work of God here at Union Pentecostal Church. And we need folks that'll just dedicate their life, long time, to serving the Lord like they do and being a help. Amen. So Brother Brad, come take your liberty.
I didn't know the power went out. I was sleeping. I was tired. And I said, I'm going to take it. It was like 4:20, so I took a nap. About 5:30, I woke up, and we didn't lose power, did we, babe? I didn't think so. I know it flickered while I was taking a shower, but it didn't go out. And we got a phone call. I actually got a phone call from Dad. He said, the power's out, church here. So it's supposed to be on at 6. At first, I was a little upset. And then I was kind of like, well, maybe, Lord, you had a better idea in mind. And then the power came back on, and maybe he didn't. But Brother Hurst had emailed me a few days last week, and he asked me if I would speak, and I told him it'd be an honor. And I told Trisha, I'm not going to lie, I still get nervous. You guys know me. You know everything about me. Some of you know me better than I do. And I can do this on Sundays. You give me a room full of kids, and I don't have trouble getting up and just telling them what I think or what I'm talking about. But I get in front of you guys, and it's different. Brother Aaron brought up a good point tonight. It's not that we get nervous to preach. It's because we know we have to follow Pastor Hurst. And those are big shoes to try to follow. If you would, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Before Brother Hurst had even asked me to speak, I began to think about what I want to talk to you about tonight. I did come real close to asking him if I could just wear a polo shirt and jeans, because as soon as you walk in the door, Sister Dirth goes, oh, Brad's preaching. So what gave it away? Maybe the tie. Maybe next time I'll wear... 1 Samuel chapter 17, it's going to be a little bit of jumping around verse-wise. But there are two phrases that I cannot stand whatsoever. Number one, I do not like the phrase, it is what it is. Okay? I'm a thinker. It isn't what it is. Think about it. Analyze it. Tell me why it is what it is. Don't just say it is what it is. Drives me nuts. The other phrase I can't stand, matter of fact, I'd almost say I hate it, is I quit. I quit. So tonight, for just a little bit, I want to talk to you on, so what if I quit? Not so what if I quit as in your face, but so, comma, what if I quit? Or in your case, what if you quit? 1 Samuel 17. We'll begin in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shaco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shaco and Azekah, and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. Jump to verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Isn't that just like the enemy tells you, you do this and everything will be just like this. But in the back of Goliath's mind, he knew whether they won or lost, they weren't going to serve. They weren't going to be their servants. And verse 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Jump to verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. If you would, we just bow our heads tonight and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, I appreciate this opportunity that you've given me. Lord, I'm thankful for the calling that you placed on my life, Lord, and in the many areas of ministry that you've allowed me to be in. God, I ask that you would just take a live coal off the altar of heaven right now, Lord, and place it upon my lips that I may say nothing more or nothing less than that which you'd have me to say. Open our ears to hear and hearts to receive from your word. And Lord, change somebody's life for eternity today and help them get in their mind that they're not going to quit. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, what if you quit? When I was a child, I was in kindergarten. I know I was in kindergarten, so I had to be 5. One day I came home and I looked at my parents and I said, what if I break my leg? And in my mind, it seems like it was the very next day, but my mom says it was maybe a week later. Sure enough, snapped my right leg right in half. Oh, I never said what if again. Not for a while. And every time I did, I could hear my mom, what if you broke your leg? What if you broke your leg? So I tried reverse psychology one time. I said, well, what if I'm a millionaire? I'm still waiting for that one. In life, there's always going to be what ifs. It doesn't matter what you do, where you're at, what you go through. There will always be the question, what if? Your car breaks down. You talk to your buddies. Well, what if my car hadn't broke down? Or you're late getting somewhere, traffic was bad. Or you in your mind, you're thinking, we left 15 minutes late. And then as you get where you're going, you realize there was an accident between you and where you needed to be. And in your mind, Brother Brian, you say, what if we'd have left on time? There's always that question that comes into your mind, what if? The phrase that should never come into your mind is, I quit. When we were kids, we'd go outside and we'd play ball in Margie and Keith's side yard. And we'd be right in the middle of the game, and the game was going great. Maybe the score was tied, or one team was just barely ahead, and we would play for hours. It wasn't just we got two innings in. We would play till we literally could barely walk. And we'd get about midway through the game, and then all of a sudden Brian would be like, I got to go inside. So we'd take a break. Brian never came back outside. Oh, that used to make me so mad. I'd be like, you don't got to go inside. You're just quitting. I don't like quitters. I love you, Brian. I really do. But that story popped into my head when I was preparing. I don't like quitters. I don't believe God likes quitters. There have been many times when we could have quit. Things got rough. If we quit every time something got hard, we'd never accomplish anything but quitting. That's it. Anything but quitting. There were some famous people who were failures, quote-unquote failures. Albert Einstein wasn't able to speak until he was almost 4 years old. And all of his teachers said, he'll never amount to much. If he'd have just quit when they downgraded him and made him feel little because he wasn't as smart as the rest of them at the time. But he didn't let it stop him. Walt Disney was fired from a newspaper. And this was the reason. Because he lacked imagination and he had no original ideas. I wouldn't like to be the editor that fired him for that one. One more. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. After being cut, he went home, locked himself in his room, and he cried. Then he gathered himself together and became the greatest basketball player to ever step on the court. But if he'd have just quit when everybody else told him, you're not going to do anything, how about you in your life? Have you ever... Somebody told you, you're not going to amount to much. Kind of just a quick funny story. I was talking to Brother Tim today. We were coercing back and forth, and he can still remember when my dad walked into the gas station in West Carrollton, I believe it was, and he applied for a job, and the boss turned to him, and he asked him, he said, so what do you think? And he said, I don't think he's going to work out. Don't quit. There were two different passages that came to mind. They were both lengthy, so I decided not to read the second one. But the other one was 2 Kings chapter 2, and it was about Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha followed Elijah everywhere he went. And Elijah kept begging him. He's like, stay here, stay here. And he's like, nope, I'm not going to do it. And he'd keep going with him. And he'd ask him again, just stay here. I don't know if he was annoyed that he was following him or if he just knew what was going to happen and didn't know. And he said, just stay here. Elisha said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he kept going. And finally he said, well, what is it that I can do for you? And he said, give me a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, if you see me when I'm taken up, then you'll get it. But if not, you won't. There are five things that I feel like the Lord laid on my heart between these two stories. The first one was there was a request. In the story of David, he was asked to go to the Israelite camp and deliver food for his father to give to his brothers. During a time of war, I'm sure they didn't have time to gather food, so he was doing something nice to help make sure that his brothers were nourished. In the story of Elisha, he was told to go back or to stay here. In our lives, we're going to have many requests. Doesn't matter what it is. It might be, hey, we need you to teach Sunday school on Sunday, or can you help Brother Michael ride the bus? How about helping Sister Ruth with Sidewalk Sunday school, or do your chores at home, young people, or maybe you got schoolwork, you got to get it done, or your job. I need you to go. I've had a tough one with that one here lately because I've been having in my mind to do something that's not my job. And at first I got a little upset about it, I'm not going to lie. And then I realized I was lucky to have a job. And I told him, I actually went to my boss and I apologized. And I said, I'm sorry that I kind of got a little frustrated with you, but whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. And I won't ask any questions. There are going to be requests. You may not like them. You may not want to do them. Who wants to get the job of cleaning the toilets? Go ahead, raise your hands. We'll take votes right now because I'm sure Brother and Sister Eileen would like to have a day off now and then. Brother and Sister Oral, excuse me. They're not here. Don't tell them. There's always going to be requests. But secondly, there was a refusal. David refused to disobey his father. It doesn't say anywhere in Scripture where David ever questioned him. It doesn't say that he thought it was a crazy idea. He did it. Elisha, he refused to go away. He was kind of pestering me. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here beside you. Refusals can either be a good thing or a bad thing. Sometimes you can refuse something and it turn out to be okay. Sometimes you refuse things because your attitude's wrong or you're not right because you already got in your mind that you want to quit anyway, so you're just going to not do that. I'm just not going to take part in that. Thirdly, there was a response. Verse 20 of 1 Samuel, David said, it says, David rose up early. He found somebody to do his chores of watching the sheep so that he could go and do what his father asked him to do. Verse 2, 4, and 6 of 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha, he didn't go back. He said, I'm not going back. He said, it's not going to happen. How we respond to the request makes a huge difference. Makes a huge difference. See, one thing I've learned that if our attitude is I'm going to quit, then it really doesn't matter what people ask us to do. We can say, oh, yeah, I'll be there to help you out, but then we don't show up. Or we come up with an excuse why we couldn't help them out. Oh, well, I was too tired and I was taking a nap. I just overslept. If you've already got your mind made up, sometimes it's hard to make yourself totally turn your thinking. And like I said, if you quit at everything all your life, then the only thing you're good at doing is quitting. And it's going to be the first thing that you resort to. Every time something gets presented to you, it's, I quit. I don't want to do that anymore. I quit. I had a lot of jobs growing up. I quit a few. I sold knives for a week. I quit that job. It wasn't a good one, let me tell you. I tried to sell vacuum cleaners one time. I quit that one too. I worked for a mortgage company. I worked a day and quit the next day. Was I a quitter? Yep. Then I found a job I didn't necessarily like, but I grew up a little bit. I realized I needed it. And I stayed there for 2 years and started getting close to my 2 years, and I thought, hey, it's the longest job I have ever had. And it, honestly, it was. And then something else came open, and I took that job, and I've been there now for 7 years. And I can honestly say it is the best job I ever had. But all my life, Brother Hurst, it was easy. As a teenager, I think at your all's age, you find it. Now's the easiest time to say I quit. Because one, as a teenager, you don't have a lot of responsibilities. Maybe you have little things to do around the house. But it's easy to quit anything that comes your way because you don't want to grow up yet. And I don't want you to rush out and grow up. Enjoy your teenage years. But don't be labeled a quitter. Because if you're labeled a quitter, then nobody will ever ask you to do anything. Nobody will ever ask you to get involved or to help out. In both of these stories, we find out that, number four, there was a chance to resign. There was a chance to quit. Sometime between when David got what his father asked him to do and when he actually did it, Bible says the next morning, there could have been plenty of time to quit. On the way there, he could have found somebody else and said, I'll make a deal. You take this to the armies and I'm going to go back home and we'll just say that I did it. But he didn't do that. There was chances. Elisha had according to Scripture, very vividly, three different opportunities to quit and leave and go back. And he decided not to. There's always going to be an opportunity to resign. And these are some things that really stuck out to me. If you read in the story we read tonight in verse 16, the Bible says that Goliath came out day and night for 40 days. So let me ask you, what if the Israelites would have quit on day 40? From what my mind understands from reading the scripture is that it was day 41 that David showed up at camp. Because he says he came out day and night for 40 days, and the next morning he showed up. And that's when David was there. So what if they would have quit on day 40? What if they just said, this is too hard, we're not going to win anyway. I mean, look at this guy. He's biggest thing we've ever seen, and I mean, the Bible vividly describes what his armor looked like and what he had to fight with. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to meet that guy in a dark alley, let alone out here in plain sight for everybody else to see. So day 40, we quit. Then they would have probably, Philistines, they wouldn't have made him their slaves. They probably would have killed him right there. They'd have just quit. What if they quit on day 40? Nope. They waited till day 41. And David showed up on day 41. What if the people in the upper room, when they in Acts chapter 2, when they went to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says they were all in one place in one accord, and they got filled. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and we know what happened. And they come out speaking in other tongues, and people began to mock them and say they were drunk. And Peter, what did he say? He stood up and he said, nope, how can it be? It's just the third hour of the day. What if the people in the upper room would have quit at the second hour of the day? Acts chapter 2 probably would have had a whole different meaning, you know, a different story. I'll take what was going on. What if Christ would have decided that after going through all that he did, he was beaten and he was whipped and he had the crown of thorns placed on his head, and then he died on a cross, and he was buried in a tomb. And he was in the tomb for 3 days. What if after 2 days, Brother Hurst, he just said, you know what, I've went through a lot, and they're really just not worth it, so I'm going to quit on day two. But he didn't. He stayed in there one more day. And he came out and was victorious, and scriptures and prophecies were fulfilled because of what he did. But he could have quit, and he didn't. Brother Brian, what if that Friday night of youth camp when you went down to get saved that night, what if 5 minutes before you asked the Lord to come in your heart, you decided to quit? Or Brother Grant, what about Thursday night this year if you were up there seeking the Lord for the Holy Ghost and 5 more minutes before the Holy Ghost, you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you just said, nope, it's not going to happen for me. My point is that there's many opportunities here that these people could have quit. We all could have quit, but hang on just one more minute. Hang on one more minute. What Trisha was telling me when she was a younger girl that she was praying for her dad, and she was praying for her dad that he would come back to church and he would get saved. And she said there was many times where she thought about quitting, and she decided, I'm going to pray one more time. And the next service, he was here, and he came up and he prayed, and he asked the Lord to, you know, just to change his life. What if she'd have quit? What if you would have quit moments before God changed your life? I think about myself. What if, you know, 16 years ago I would have quit 5 minutes before I knelt down beside my bed and decided to pray? There's all these what ifs. But sometimes you got to push past the what if, and you got to hold on for that one extra moment. Maybe you've been praying for your family to get saved. Well, if you quit now, maybe the next service was the service they were going to get saved. You say, well, Brother Brad, I've been praying for years. But what if the next time? See, what ifs can be a good thing. What ifs can be, hey, I've done this for so long. What if the next time? But I stopped one time too short. Then I didn't receive the blessing that I was supposed to have gotten if I'd have just kept going on. What if the children of Israel, when they walked around the walls of Jericho, what if they'd have stopped on the sixth time of the seventh day? Would the walls have fallen? No, because they were given instructions, and they followed out the instructions, and they did what they were told, and they didn't quit. What if you stop serving the Lord one day before he comes back to take us home? And you've served the Lord for umpteen years, and you decide that today I'm going to quit, and tomorrow Jesus comes back, you're going to be thinking, what if? What if I'd have just held out one more day? What if I'd have just decided I'm going to throw my anchor down right now and I'm going to root myself in the ground and I'm going to serve the Lord with everything I've got and I'm not going to waver in every storm that comes my way. I'm not going to quit, or I'm not going to just, okay, I'm going through the motions. My ship's being tossed around. Okay, time to quit. I'm going overboard. Don't be labeled a quitter. Sometimes we quit right at the moment when God decides to move. I don't want to be labeled a quitter. I can't imagine quitting on this that I've been serving the Lord for 16 years. I can't imagine stopping now and Jesus coming back tomorrow. I'm thinking of a song that says, I've come too far to look back now. What if? Number five, last one, there was a reward for not quitting. There was a reward for not giving in. David, verse 45, 46, and 47, he saved the Israelites by defeating Goliath. Now, if you read on, I could have read the whole chapter, but that was 55 verses, and that had just been a lot of reading. And I didn't think you want to stand that long. Most of us know the story of David and Goliath. And if you read on further down, when David gets there, he hears all the stuff that Goliath's been saying. And I'm sure it made him pretty mad. You know, I can only imagine David being who he was and this guy defiling the armies of the Lord with what he was saying. I'm sure he got a little upset. He began to ask him, and the men in the army said, well, if whoever goes out there and fights him, if they win, King Saul is going to give him one of his daughters to marry. And if you read a different version, I don't go by anything but King James, but I like to read other things to get maybe how it's translated. One version said, if you go out there and fight him, you're going to get one of his daughters as a wife, and you ain't going to have to pay taxes ever again. That's what it said. But he said he was going to do all these things to the man that beat Goliath, if he beat Goliath. David didn't care about what King Saul was going to give him. He didn't care. He gave him his armor, and he said, sorry, I can't use this. It's too bulky, and it's not going to work for me. So he was more interested in saving the people of Israel. And because David didn't back down and he didn't quit, he wasn't even in the army. He was just a messenger that day. And he heard some guy talking trash, so to speak, about the Israelites. He said, I'm not going to take this. And he goes down and we know the story, he got 5 stones and he took his sling and he took his staff with him. And he fought him. And a great victory was won that day. And the Israelites were saved because of one little shepherd boy who decided not to quit. Elisha, he ended up getting his double portion. If you read verses 12 through 15, after Elijah was taken up, the mantle fell. Elisha walked over. I don't know if he was hesitant or... From what I read, it looks like he just, all right, here we go. And he walked over and he grabbed the mantle and he took it with him. And the first thing he did, he said, I want to see what this thing can do. And he walks back over to the brook and he takes it and wraps it up and he smites it again. And the waters subsided. They divided just like it had did for Elijah. And when he come back with the mantle, he had his mantle and he got back to the people, the Bible says that they knew that he had been. They said, surely the spirit of Elijah is with him. So because he wasn't going back, he got his double portion. He got his reward. There's always a reward if you don't quit. If you're seeking for the Holy Ghost, and you guys know that I have been, there's a reward if you don't quit. Don't give up. We had that good service Sunday night, and I really felt like... the Spirit of the Lord impressed upon me. I was playing the drums, and that if you quit and you never do it again, then you're labeled a failure. What is failure? Failure is when you give up trying something. I tried an experiment Sunday in children's church with the kids, and I'd seen it done before, but I've never done it myself. And you take a hard-boiled egg, and you take a bottle, and you light a match and throw it in the bottom of the bottle. You put the hard-boiled egg on there, and because of the lack of oxygen, it's supposed to suck the egg into the bottle. I tried 32 times, and it didn't happen. Okay? I got a little frustrated, you know, like, this is supposed to work. I know I've seen it done before. I've never done it. I didn't quit. I went home, and we went down to Mom and Dad's for dinner on Sunday, and I tried it another 32 times. And I still couldn't get it to work. And then I realized it was the plastic bottle I was working with. So if I can find a glass bottle, I wanted to find one and try it for you guys tonight. But I didn't want to light a match in here. I didn't quit. I wasn't happy with the results I got. Was it failure? No. Because I continued to try, and I continued to try, and I continued to try. And you know what? So maybe you have been praying for a certain thing to happen in your life for years, or in your family for years. If you quit, then you failed. I'm not trying to be mean, but if you quit, you failed. But even if you don't see the results you want for 5, 10, 15 years, if you continue to seek God for what it is you're wanting and what it is you need in your life or what your family needs, as long as you don't stop, you've not failed. Each time you come to the altar, each time you pray, you're just that much closer to your victory. You're just that much closer to when God's going to do what he said he's going to do. You're just that much closer. But if you quit now, then you lose all that ground. You quit, and then 5 years later you come back. You're not going to start where you were. You're going to have to work yourself back to that point. Maybe it won't take so long. Maybe you realize the second time why you weren't. Don't quit. I have a friend at work. We've been talking quite a bit, and he's a Baptist friend, and he told me, he said, "I've been saved twice. Is that okay?" I said, "Yeah, that's fine." He said, "Well, you know, I'm Baptist, and we don't believe that you can lose your salvation." I said, "Well, then why'd you get saved twice?" He said, "Because I felt bad, and I felt like I was a sinner. And I asked Jesus to come into my life again. Is that okay?" "Yes, that's fine." "You didn't quit after the first time." I said, "And guess what? You're going to make mistakes. I promise you, you're going to make mistakes. Don't quit, though. What if you had to get saved 3 times? What if it took that many times for you to really, truly get saved?" Sister Margaret, I remember praying at Camp Dove when I was a young boy. I do. I remember asking the Lord to come into my heart. I don't know who was preaching. I don't know the man's name. I can tell you who he was by looking at him. He was the older gentleman we had for 1 year. And he preached on the broad way and the narrow way. I might have been 12. And I remember coming down, and I remember giving my heart to God at the age of 12. Yeah, I had been raised in church all my life, but I still had never really truly dedicated my life. And you all know my story. At 15 and a half, I had gotten out. I came to church. You probably didn't notice it. Well, Pastor, you probably noticed the difference. Some of you might have. But I remember the night that God dealt with me again. Has it been easy the last 16 years? No. No, I fail. I make mistakes. I'm human. I'm imperfect. I mess up. A lot of times I repeat myself with the same mistakes. But I'm not going to quit. Because I know that God loves me, and I know what he did on Calvary for me. Because he didn't quit on me when he could have, I'm not going to quit on him when I can. Because you're going to face that times when things happen in your life. Like I said, you're going to say, "Well, what if?" Yeah, but what if you don't quit? What if you don't give up? Young people, what if you decide that doesn't matter what comes at you or what's thrown your way, you're not going to give up? then you're going to make it. Just like they sang tonight, I'm going to make it. You're only going to make it if you decide you're not going to quit. To me, quitters are just people who have a label. They're labeled as quitters. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want people to know you? Do you want them to say, oh, there's so-and-so. Well, he's a quitter. Sorry. Don't ask him. He's not going to show up. He's going to go take a nap. I don't want to do that. I want to live every day as if it was the last day that I could live for the Lord. Not as a quitter, but as a victor. As one who has victory. As a victorious warrior. As David, as he fought Goliath and he claimed the victory. Whatever your giant is in your life, you can claim the victory too. I believe that with all my heart. It doesn't matter what comes your way. You can get rooted and grounded, and nothing's going to make you quit. If somebody could come to the piano, I don't see my wife. She stepped out. I'm not going to give any big fancy altar call, but if you decide right now that no matter what comes your way, you're not going to quit, why don't you come down and we'll all come down. Let's just come and pray and let's tell the Lord, I'm not going to quit. Lord, it doesn't matter. I don't want to be a quitter, and I'm not going to do it. And he'll give us the strength. Amen.